Welcome back to adfreeshows.com. It's a special edition of Locked and Loaded with my favorite Hall of Famer, Eric Bischoff. Good to see you, Eric.
Good to be seen. It beats the hell out of the alternative.
That's absolutely true. We're going to jump right in with Anthony Pyrus, who has a question for us tonight. Where's Anthony?
I am right here, Lauren. It is so good to see you, my dear.
Good to be seen. What you got for Eric?
Eric, it was great seeing you in Baltimore. You did an absolutely wonderful job. But I want to start off by you enlightening us. You know, back in the day, you said that WCW was bad on the licensing thing. And I have to admit, licensing is something I'm not familiar with. Can you kind of explain that in a business sense?
Yeah, it's a big and complex question, but the answer could be really boiled down to a couple things. Licensing in with regard to WCW and wrestling in general boils down to this. When you create a brand, WWE, WCW, AEW, whatever, the brand, and that brand reaches a level of popularity amongst consumers. Manufacturers of t-shirts, toys, anything you can find in a store, in a Walmart, will sometimes license your brand or pay you to use it based on a percentage of sales in order to attract fans of that brand to their product.
So it's a merchandising thing, basically, right?
Same thing. But a licensing, well, not really. Merchandising is one thing. That's usually internal. So like WWE has a WWE shop. Those orders come into WWE. WWE has them manufactured, and WWE distributes them. That's kind of an in-house thing, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas licensing is, I own a t-shirt company, and I have distribution in all the Walmarts around the United States of America. Okay. Anthony, you have a brand that I know is really popular with my consumers, my customers. So I want to pay you a license fee.
Okay.
Which usually is in the form of an upfront guarantee, depending on how big the deal is. And then from that point forward, you get a percentage of sales once that guarantee has been met. That's a standard licensing deal.
Appreciate that. I never understood it. Thank you so much. Eric, my wife loved meeting you. She thought you were a delight. Lauren, it's amazing seeing you again. And you haven't heard this for a while, so I'll close with, go Pats!
Can you not? Also, tell your wife to please back off. Eric is spoken for, of course, by me. Thank you so much for that insightful question, though, Anthony. And Eric, it almost piggybacks off of one that I've been wanting to talk to you about as well, related to marketing in this current era where social media is kind of a big deal. And I just feel like the marketing landscape is very different. You're obviously, you have a brilliant mind for business in general, in my opinion, but you revolutionized wrestling. Tell me something that you would do differently today if you were marketing WCW.
Well, to be honest, I think we did a pretty good job. I don't know, given my resources at the time, given my experience at the time, the landscape at the time, I don't think I left anything on the table.
I don't think you did either, but I want to know today, what would you do in 2022?
Oh. First of all, I would surround myself with a whole bunch of people that are way smarter than me in specific areas. Like, I'm a firm believer in research. However, research is only as good as the effort and quality and talent that's put into it. Getting great research that's timely and accurate and germane to what you're trying to achieve, I think is one of the most valuable assets today. And there's so much of it available. I mean, even with AI, you don't have to go out and hire a marketing research firm to do some of this stuff for you. Even as small business people, we have access to so much information. And even if you have to bring in a third party and pay for them, it's really not as expensive anymore to get good research for your project, whatever it may be, marketing, logo redesign, you know, a new music, you know, new image. What do you need to do to your brand to appeal to a younger demo or older demo? All of that stuff is right at everybody's fingertips, but I would put a lot more emphasis on that. I'd build a good foundation for whatever it is I was going to do by surrounding myself with really smart people who knew how to put together phenomenal research. It doesn't mean that everything's you're going to hit 100% of the time, but you really, really impact your odds favorably with great research.
I think he's still brilliant, guys. James Sorensen, what you got for Eric Bischoff?
Eric, how are you doing, my friend?
I am just awesome.
When you're talking about greatness and just iconic, I'm sitting next to a friend. You might know it as a grill.
Oh, yeah.
It's a grill friend, not a girlfriend.
That's funny, Lauren. That's funny.
Sorry, James.
You get a cookie.
Eric likes me more, Lauren.
Definitely not. What's your question?
With a lot of ad-free shows things, we've heard over the years, over the last few years, of a battle between you, Conrad, Jeffrey, Jarrett, maybe Pondwater, and a grill off. Could we have like a steak grill off?
I think we will at some point, but the challenge is how do you get all four of us in the same spot at the same time? That's the challenge. But I'm sure at some point everything will come together and we'll get it done. Because I think it'll be fun as hell.
And any recipes as we're getting into the summer hot months?
You know, James, I honest to God, I love to keep it simple. I do I'm eating 100% carnivore diet right now, so I'm just eating meat. A lot of steak. And I just grill it. I get the grill up to about 150 degrees. I do about 3.5 minutes on one side, 3.5 minutes on the other, and call it a day. A little bit of salt, pepper, butter. Boom. I'm gone.
Favorite kind of steak? Favorite
New York strip. But only if it's aged a minimum of 21 days in a temperature that's somewhere between 26 and 28 degrees. You give me a Black Angus, grass-fed, and this hormone feedlot bullshit. I'm talking about grass-fed beef, Black Angus. Process it, age it for 21 days, between 26 and 28 degrees. There's nothing like it. It cannot be beat. I don't care where you go. Unless they dry age. You know what? Wet age doesn't mean anything. Wet age means they process it on Monday, they chop it up on Tuesday, and they vacuum seal it in a package on Wednesday, and they ship it out on Thursday. And it's in your store on Friday. And it's gone by Sunday. It's called a food chain. And when you dry age, you're taking that meat out of production, essentially. Taking it off the market, and it's sitting in a cooler for 21 days, not making money. So it's more expensive to age beef, but the quality and the taste and the texture is night and day. How about that? You didn't expect to hear that tonight on Ad Free Shows, did you?
I feel so much better and enlightened. Thank you. And one more thing.
Go enjoy your meat.
All right. Thank you, Eric.
He is definitely going to enjoy that grill friend of his. Eric, I got to tell you, I got a little New York strip for you. Love hearing about your meat. Thank you so much for that. Is it getting hot in here? Are we blazing the steaks or what? Josh Henney, he just popped, but he has a question too. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Lauren, how are you?
Fantastic.
Keep it together, Josh. Keep it together.
I'm trying. You know, that is the hottest girlfriend that Sorensen will ever have. Just saying.
She warmed up to him right away.
That's awesome. So I was waiting for the laugh track, but nothing came. So
here, how about this?
That works for me. Hell yeah. Well, how are you doing tonight, Mr. Bischoff?
I'm just, I'm on fire, man. I feel great.
Sweet. Sweet. I'm glad you're back to eating the meat because that's what we need.
That's I'm digging to, you know, I did a 5-day water fast and I went on the carnivore diet immediately after it. That whole 5-day fast, I felt better than I felt in decades throughout the whole thing. I only had one brief moment on Friday, actually, where I went, ooh, I can start to feel it now. The rest of the time, it was awesome. I went right into the carnivore diet. I've been pounding steaks like crazy and goose eggs and duck eggs. And that's it. That's all I've been eating lately.
So I got a kind of a weird question. I've always wondered. So back in the day when Nitro started, you guys obviously were live every week. And for the first chunk of it, you guys were only 1 hour and then 2 hours, then 3 hours. Of course, the only Nitro I went to was a 3 hour Nitro. When you were doing the 1 hour, what's that?
So I'm sorry to hear you went to a 3 hour. That's brutal.
Actually, it was really good. It was the one right after Jay Leno up in Rapid City.
Oh, that's right. That was fun. That was a good time.
That was a really good Nitro. That was a good one. But with the 1 hour and 2 hour shows, what were you doing to entertain the crowd? Were you taping other shows or were you just doing dark matches? Because I'm assuming you just didn't have a 1 hour show and everybody went home.
When we were live, we did.
Oh, is that right? Just 1 hour and in and out?
Yep.
Okay.
And I think that wasn't my decision, by the way. I didn't decide to go 1 hour, then 2 hours, and 3 hours.
Right.
That was the network's decision. I think what happened is nobody knew how we were going to do when we debuted, going head to head against WWE. It was, kind of a high risk maneuver. And nobody was confident that it was going to be a good idea. So they put their toe in the water with 1 hour because that's what Ted wanted. And it went so well that they immediately went to two, because setting up and producing a 1 hour show has a cost. Let's say it's at the time probably close to $300,000 of actual hard costs, talent, trucks, transportation, running a venue, whatever. So you got a $300,000 cost for a 1 hour show. If you decide to add a 2 hour show, it's still only $300,000, but now you have double the amount of commercial inventory to make that time slot worth more money. So I think with Brad Siegel, because it was his decision, really, Brad saw what happened there during the first hour, saw that things were holding up and growing immediately head-to-head. I mean, we were competitive with WWE from the minute we launched.
Right.
We didn't beat them until 1996. I mean, we didn't trounce them until 1996. But for the entire – since the beginning of Nitro, the launch of Nitro, we'd win one, they'd win one. They'd win two, we'd win one. We'd win three, they'd win two. It was very neck and neck up until 96.
Right.
But I think adding the and again, the same math applies. So if it costs $300,000 to shoot one show and you have 18 minutes of commercial inventory, and it costs $300,000 to have a 2 hour show, and now you've got 36 minutes of commercial inventory, and then you shoot a 3 hour show, and fuck, I can't do the math, but it just makes sense.
Absolutely. Now with those 1 hour shows though, you guys just did the live show and you were done just in and out with the crowd, or
we got to the bar much earlier.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, that's cool. I know with Raw, they were going live and then taping, I think like 2 or 3 weeks right after in that same.
Yeah, we didn't tape.
Right. Yeah. Which was awesome. Just absolutely awesome. But anyway, just something I was always curious about. So I appreciate
it. Well, I am glad as hell that I could answer that question for you, Jeff.
That's right. Well, I appreciate you, sir. And I appreciate seeing you, Lauren. We're glad to have you back.
Hey, Josh, how's the rehab going?
Oh, really well. I'm all done with the PT, and knee's doing pretty well. It swells up on occasion, which is supposed to, for about a year. It gets achy by the end of the day, but we're going to start some rehab on my back next. And, that osteonecrosis plays havoc on my body. So we're hoping my spine stays intact now. So it's always something.
All right, well, best of luck to you, brother.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Get well soon, Josh. Thanks for joining us this evening. Eric, I wanted to ask you another question. Sorry, guys, if you'll just stand by and
with us while we the inner workings of each other's minds.
Yes. Eric, you have talked a few times about how you didn't know going in to the NWO storyline. I think you said it was about a 60-40 split for you on whether or not it was going to work. Was there a moment in time, at what point did you realize I got something here?
I don't know if it was a 60-40. I mean, I had a pretty – I knew the NWO idea was going to work. Originally, before Hulk Hogan threw his hat in the ring and it was going to be Sting, I really believe once I had Scott and Kevin under contract and I said, okay, now I'm going to do this idea I've been thinking about for so long, I knew it would work. I would say I was 90% confident that the original idea was going to work with Sting. I probably believed, I don't know that I thought this through and put a calendar date on it, but I thought, you know, this is going to work. In my mind, I think in my heart, I believe it would be a good 3 month storyline. But I was confident I could get a good 3 months out of it. Then Hogan came in. When he threw his hat in the ring, we kind of pivoted to Hulk. Then I went, wow, this is going to be really good. Because Hulk Hogan turning in any environment, any storyline, Hulk Hogan turning is going to create a wave. And depending on how powerful the turn is and how exciting it is, will determine how big that wave is and how long it'll ride. So I knew when Hulk came in, we probably had a good 6 or 8 months. I had no idea it would still be around today in one way, shape, or form.
All right. Impressive. And my favorite storyline, of course, other than, you know, me and you and the love story. Mike Whitaker, where are you, my friend? Good evening.
Warren, great to see you. And I'm going to give you a big shout out from one of our friends, James Alcori. Can't make it. As you always say, always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Eric, well, for one, Sorensen took my question because I was going to ask you about the carnivore diet. So off the top of my head, I want to ask you, if you could book your NWO right now, we'll say for AEW, WWE going to AEW, what three guys would you take? So say a tag team like Nash and Hall, and then you have your one main guy. Who would you take over there and try to make a storyline good for that?
You know, I can't answer. I hate when people ask me that question, not because I mind the question, because it's a great question. But for me to kick into that kind of a gear, I kind of have to sit back, close my eyes for about 10 or 15 minutes. And I have to be able to see it in my head. I have to visualize something. If I can't see it in my head, then it's not a good idea. It's just a weird process that I go through. So if I'm trying to figure out, if I'm writing a treatment for an idea for a television show, for example, and everything's going great and it's rolling and I can kind of see it in my head and it's ended up in my fingertips pretty easily. But if I get stuck because something just isn't flowing right, I can't just keep trying to type and figure it out and try different ways of saying something. I literally have to stop. Step back, close my eyes, and try to visualize the challenge that I'm trying to convert to print. I know that doesn't really make sense, but I'm a very visual person. And if I can't see it in my head, even learning, like I can read the hell out of something that I'm interested in, like how to do something. But until I actually get my hands on it and do it, I'm not very confident. But if you show me, if I'm watching you do something and I see it happening and I see it evolving, I can pretty much close my eyes and do it. But if you tell me how to do it, I'd screw it up.
Okay.
So fair question. That's why I can't really answer that question. I've sit down and kind of look at the roster because it's more about casting, right? It's not as simple as who's doing the best right now. And it's really casting. And it's one of the reasons the NWO worked. So many of the reasons why it worked had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with anybody's idea. It had more to do with the coincidence of timing of Hall and Nash becoming available right about the time Hulk Hogan was getting ready to get out of the business, really. He was kind of tired of the red and yellow. It wasn't really working for him. He wanted to go off and do more movies. He only had 4 pay-per-views a year for us. So when Hall and Nash came in, and that provided my opportunity, which I had nothing to do with their timing. They just popped up on my radar. But it was great timing. They came in. And that magic of that trio of Hulk Hogan, that unique character, one of a kind, not another one like him, with his history and everything else. And then the way Hulk's character just meshed. In a way, it didn't mesh. In a way, it was a little edgy and dangerous. You weren't really sure how it was going to go, in the beginning especially. But something magic happened between those three guys. It was like 1 + 1 + 1 = 10. But if you would have taken any one of those guys out of that equation, it wouldn't have worked as well. It would have worked, just not as well. So when someone asks me a question like that, in order for me to answer it honestly, I've got to really sit back and look and see not only who's available, like fantasy booking, but what would be the best combination of personalities and characteristics? Because unless it blended and created that perfect harmony like Hall and Nash and Hogan did, it wouldn't be that good. So I would try to do that. And that takes more time than something like this. Wow, that take me forever. Yeah.
And that was a better answer than just give me three random people. So I really like that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, brother.
Always a pleasure, Mr. Whitaker. Thanks for joining us. Dave McClay has a question. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good to talk to you again.
You as well.
Good to see you, bro.
Hey, how's it going, Eric?
Good. How are you?
I got two things. Well, one, I need your advice about something, and I have a question.
Oh, you're fucked. You're just fucked. Okay. You need my advice.
All right. My advice is this. Been really sad lately. I'm getting older, and I'm really starting to go gray. Like, I'm completely salt and pepper now, and I just turned 41. Do you think I should dye my hair?
No.
Do not do that. Do not. I did it because I had to because of TV. Mm-hmm. I can spot a motherfucker from 300 yards away that's over 40 and dyes his hair. And it's not cool. It's not cool. No. Besides, let me tell you from personal experience. Got to keep this between us, if you will. Please don't share this. Chicks dig salt and pepper.
Yes, we do. It's distinguished. It's sexy. I love it.
It's different than.
Then why does my wife always make fun of me? Because she has no gray hair. She's older than me.
That's what wives do, Dave. How long have you been married? You know
she's
this.
She's just funning you. First of all, you're 41 years old. If you tell me you're sad because you're 41 years old, mm-hmm. I am wearing jeans right now that are almost as old as you are.
Ah, you don't look it. You don't look your age, Eric.
Well, we're not talking about me. We're talking about you.
Oh, okay.
You don't look 41 either.
Well, thank you for that. Really appreciate it.
Pull your head out of your ass. Don't dye your hair.
All right. So here's my question, Eric. I'm really looking forward to you being in the Who Killed WCW documentary. Obviously, you're awesome in documentaries that you're in. So do you have a favorite documentary that you were a part of? And if there's any, do you have a least favorite documentary that you were a part of?
You know, they're all a blur to me because, and here's why. I've done a fair amount of them, I guess, between WWE stuff and Dark Side of the Ring stuff. And some of the WWE stuff is for the network, some of it's for A&E. So it all, and when they come out here to shoot it, they go, okay, we're going to shoot a couple of these for A&E. We're going to shoot these questions for the network. And we're going to shoot these questions for, you know, it's like, so they all mix together with me. So it's hard for me to pick one. Generally, if there hasn't been one that I've gone, I wish I wouldn't have done it. But there's been a couple that have been better than others. So, but I couldn't tell you which one. I am looking forward to this one. When they first called me, when they first called me, you know, I got an email and said, hey, we're trying to reach you. We want to talk to you about this idea. Here's basically the idea. When's a good time? And I read the email and I went, nah, I don't think so. Because it's been done to death. Just I don't want to participate in something that I'm bored with, for fuck's sake. So I had already made up my mind before I even called him back. And these are good dudes, man. I really like them. I've worked with them a bunch of times. Really, 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 really good people. So I wanted to be courteous and respectful. And I called him back and I said, Dave, I got to tell you, I'm not feeling it. It's been done so many times. What is there to talk about? And then I started hearing about what they wanted to do. Rock was involved. Brian Gewirtz, who I'm very good friends with, was involved. And so, well, I don't know if I'm really good friends with him, but I'm friends with him. We are good friends. We're our friends. We just don't associate, you know, throughout the year very often, but when we do, we're good. And I knew Brian was involved, and I know how good Brian is. I know he's really, really good. Some of the best stuff I've ever done on camera, he wrote and produced, really. So when I heard Rock was involved, I heard Brian was involved, and I heard they're taking a different angle. A completely different, not a complete, a much different angle on the answer to that question of who killed WCW. Because we know what the dirt sheets say. We know what they've been saying for 30 years or whatever.
I don't give a shit about Dave Meltzer.
Well, and it, but, you know, neither do I, obviously. Okay. But
sorry.
The fact is, that's the narrative out there in the internet wrestling community, because it's been out there for so long, and it's his narrative. I have my own. I've talked about it ad nauseum. You guys have all heard my position on that and why I think things went bad, but whatever. I mean, and then there's the other side of it, the third side of it, and that's from the perspective of Turner Broadcasting. Well, we've barely heard my story outside of my podcast and our family. And, you know, my side of the story isn't really out there. You know, the other side of the story was out there for 30 plus years. But we're going to get a different angle. I hope. I haven't seen the finished product. I helped wrangle some people that would otherwise be a little tough to get to participate. Because I told them I believed in what they were doing, and I believed it was going to be an entirely different approach. And I think my confidence gave them confidence because they felt the same way I did. Oh, my God, am I going to be part of a story that's been told to death? So when I called these people and said, look, here's why I'm doing it. I'm in. Here's why I'm in. Because it'll be a side of the story that hasn't been heard before. Hopefully. Because I don't want to say promised. That was the direction of the creative that got me on board. Let's put it that
way. Okay. Well, if my opinion pounds, I definitely think you were not the death of WCW. In fact, you made WCW really awesome.
I had a blast.
Well, all right. One more thing that I just want to tell you, Eric. One of the things, I wrote this down. One of the things, the best things about being a top guy is interactions like this, but you take fan interaction to like a whole nother level, especially what you did for Lindsay. That was really touching and heartwarming. So I really think you are the MVP of Athree Shows as far as fan interaction goes. So thank you for all you do, Eric.
Well, thank you for saying that. But guess what, guys? This is fun for me. Lindsay gave me a gift. That was a gift for me. I got way more out of it than they did. They may not know that or feel that or believe that, but I know it's true. So this is a two-way street, guys. This is not a one-way street. I'm not doing anything for you. You guys are all here. We're having fun. I think that's how it works. That's how it should work.
Well, I hope to have a lot more fun with you and get to meet you more times for years to come. Thank you, Eric.
All right. Lauren, thank you, buddy.
Good to see you again. Thank you so much, Lauren.
You as well. Let's bring Lindsay in. She wanted to say hello to you, Eric. Hey, Lindsay.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Lindsay. How are you?
Good, good. Can't complain. 3 weeks into being married now, so.
How's Mr. Lopez?
he's asleep at the moment, but we're doing very well.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you. Lindsay's gone. That was fun. I really did. I had so much fun. And thank you. Again, I didn't really thank you, but thank you. I was so excited and made me feel good. Great memory.
I have to tell you, my mom has like flipped out and told everybody she knows that you mentioned her on your show about how you guys were dancing together. And I just think that that's hilarious. So I just want to say thank you for that alone, because it's like,
Hey, Lindsay, is she hot for me yet?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, she knows that you're a married man. So.
Oh, okay. 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 All right.
But
the only reason I say that is I'm usually really over with mothers and grandmothers. I just sweep them right off their feet.
I don't know if you got to meet my grandma, but she thought you were very good looking. So
thank you.
I'll throw that out there too.
Thank you.
Yep. Yes. It was fun. I just want to say hello to everybody. Hi, Lauren. I miss you.
I miss you as well. Unfortunately, I now have heat with mom and grandma and
yeah, a little bit.
Everybody else. Yeah, Eric. What the hell?
Eric. Yeah. It's all good. They're harmless. Although I warned Eric about my grandma. I said she walks with a cane. She's disabled and she will kick you if you say something.
Oh, she's a hoot.
Yeah.
Your grandma is a hoot. Does she drink?
No, no.
Oh, that's too bad because I'd take her out for a beer or two. She's fun.
She used to, but that was before me. But there's some stories people could tell you about her. But she's a little calmer now, I would say, than when I was a kid.
Oh, she was feisty. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you see her dancing, by the way?
No, I don't think I did. Oh,
okay. She got on the dance floor. She like lit up the whole dance floor for about 20 minutes. It was adorable.
Oh, I wish I would have met her. I would have loved to dance with her.
Oh, by the way, I got some of my pictures back from the photographer, and I'll send you a couple of them.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love
it. Looks so good. But I'll give everybody else time. I just want to say hello.
See you, girl.
All righty. See you.
Congratulations to the newlyweds. What a lovely story here about dancing with everybody but me, Eric. Okay, thank you so much. On the topic of wedding cakes, Tim asks, what are some ideas for substituting or lowering sugar in your diet? He found out today he is pre-diabetic, stopped drinking about 6 months ago, and then got this news today. So sounds like a tough day for Tim. You have any suggestions, Eric?
Oh, shit ton. Tim, reach out to me. Email, DM on social media. Somebody on this team will get you my email or my phone number. Reach out to me. We'll talk because there's no way I'm going to be able to do you any justice on this call. But I am so in to giving you some ideas and a place to start. It's not funny.
Sounds good. Tim was not able to join us on camera, but
no,
Tim-
I don't know if he's listening or not, because honestly, your situation, I know I've never gone through it, not talking from firsthand experience. And let me make this clear. I am not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm just a regular mucker father that likes to feel good. And I have a wife who's a holistic nutritionist and has studied it. And between my interest, her knowledge, and my passion for digging into things, because I'm fairly curious, I've dug so deep into glucose and insulin and how it's all fucked up and how to fix it. And as scary as what you're facing is right now, it's one of the easiest things to turn around without drugs. And what I'm going to do is point you in the right direction. All right, enough of that. Otherwise, because I love this shit. Don't get me started on this kind of stuff. You can get me talking about carnivore diet, water fast, getting healthy. I dare you. Don't be here till tomorrow. All right, Tim, reach out to me, Tim. Somebody will figure out how to help you do that. We'll chat.
Tim, you know to send a message to Ad-Free Shows via Patreon. We'll get you in touch with Eric. And I cannot put over Mrs. B enough. She is fantastic. And she knows all the things. She really does. She'll get you right. PJ has a question for you, Eric. Hey, PJ. Is PJ in the room?
Oh. Hey, sorry about that.
Oh, I thought you were under my desk. Sorry.
No. I'll leave that to others. Oh man. So we also you know, Macho Man, Hulk, Legion of Doom and them on Baywatch. Were you guys ever approached by any other TV shows that either just didn't work out or you felt were not worth doing?
You mean for guest appearances for talent?
Yes.
Oh, we did. I mean, I personally was on the Jeff Foxworthy show.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, I was on a Jeff Foxworthy show with Randy Savage. It was Randy and I were guest stars at the time. And then I did an HBO special or an HBO series called Arliss.
Okay, I never watched that one, but I do remember that show.
Oh, it's a great show. Great show. It's about a sports agent. So it's like Evergreen. You could go back now if you've never seen it. it would be just as good today as it was when it first came out. But yeah, that, I was on that, and that thing ran. It was a pretty successful show on HBO. So I did that. I did a couple others. I did one with Dusty, and other people. You know, I can't remember them all off the top of my head. But yeah, we had a talent on doing guest stars on guest roles on shows like Baywatch.
Were there any shows that you guys turned down or anything like that?
Can't
like it just didn't fit.
No. I never had someone come to me and said, "Hey, we want to use one of your talents," and me go, "Yeah, I don't think I want to do that." Because anytime you can expose your talent out, you know, I tell people all the time, and especially when I'm talking about producing a television show and why I feel the way I feel about some of the shows that I watch, is you can't produce for one type of an audience. Because when you sit down and watch, if you looked at a cross-section of wrestling fans, they're young, they're old. Some like the costumes and the pyro and the entrances and the pageantry and the fact that these characters look like cartoon characters, but they're real. They love that part of it. Other people really love the storylines, the drama, the real tension. Other people like the quality of the matches. Other people like other shit. Everybody's got a different reason for liking wrestling. Dusty Rhodes said it. I think I stole it from Dusty. I stole it from somebody, but I think I stole it from Dusty. Told me once that a great wrestling show, a card, is like a buffet. Because if you go to a good buffet, go to Vegas, go to a good buffet, look at the cross-section of people that come to that buffet. They're all coming for the same thing, but there's a million different little things available that each one of them like differently. So if you think about wrestling, the entire show from a real super macro perspective, like way the fuck up here looking down, you've got to create it in a way so that everybody leaves satisfied. And you're going to have different styles of wrestling in there. So for me, if I had an opportunity to take a talent and put them in a show that has nothing to do with wrestling, I'm reaching an audience that I don't normally reach. That maybe take the time and come and sample my product. Because I already got all these people. But they also go watch other shit. So.
Makes perfect sense.
I don't know if it did or not, but I was kind of talking out loud there. But long-winded
way of saying. It makes perfect sense.
It's a long-winded way of saying, when I was producing TV, I was a whore. And I would ship my talent out to anybody.
Best way to get out there, right?
You write the check. I'll put them on a plane.
Thanks for everything, Eric.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, PJ. Greg Jacobson has something for us tonight. Eric, what you got?
Well, you know something, Bischoff. First of all, I wanted to do that for a long time. Sorry, I had to do it.
No, whoa. Do it again, only mean it.
Well, you know something, Bischoff.
What do I know? You got to follow it up.
You already do a whole promo. I can't cut a whole promo.
Why not?
I don't have that in me. I had to go get the courage to do that to you. So thank you.
Well, you did a pretty shitty job the first go round, but that second go round was right on the money, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My question for you, during the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars, everybody was jumping back and forth. Shawn Michaels, I remember in one of the magazines they had him in an Outsiders t-shirt. Did that ever get close at all?
Not even a conversation.
Wow.
No, because, and again, I don't remember the timeline exactly, but Shawn had some issues. I think he had been injured. I don't know if he had gone into treatment, if he was just off because of a contraction. Shawn had been off for a long time during that period of time. And then he came back, but Shawn had some serious issues. And by the time Shawn had come back and was legally available or was maybe close to his contract ending, there was some conversation outside of me about, hey, maybe we could get him. But by that time, we were rocking and rolling. We're talking probably 97, maybe late 96 or 97, but we were on fire. And to me, because I knew if I wanted to reach out, I could have probably at least had a conversation. But for me personally, I knew that Sean's reputation at that time, he's since turned his entire life around. He's a completely different human being. But at that time, he was a jackass. And I didn't want to bring a jackass into it, the environment that I had, because it was going really, really well at the time. And I just didn't need the hassle.
Understood. Well, thank you. Lauren, nice meeting you. What a pleasure and honor to talk to you, Mr. Bischoff. This is so
Hey, Greg, cool. next time it's Eric. And next
I'm bringing
time,
it.
Next time, you got to bring me a promo, brother.
I'm bringing it.
I need at least 30 seconds on the clock.
You got it.
All right.
You got it. I'll even flex with it. You know what I mean? Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you, buddy.
Talent coaching from Eric Bischoff. Eric, I'll give you a hell of a lot more than 30 seconds. Up next is Isaac.
Might not take anymore.
I love you so much.
This has gone so far off the freaking rails.
As usual.
Am I going to get sued from somebody? Am I going to get me too'd here? I don't even care.
Trouble. Evan will lose my number forever after this one. It's okay. Isaac, what do you have for us?
What up, EZ?
What is happening, my man?
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing great.
Hell yeah. Man, sorry I'm late on this. I got a wild ass question for you that I don't think I've ever heard you answer before. I'm actually fixing to get some more tattoos myself. I want to know about your tattoos, man. I see, you know, your arm, you got a little bit of a sleeve going. What else you got? I really don't know anything about your ink.
I got the sleeve. You probably can't tell on this camera. You can't tell. This is horrible. But it's a three-mast ship.
Okay.
Right? And then you've got some nautical kind of up around it. The inside, this is a compass. And it goes down to an anchor. Mm-hmm. And then you have all kinds of nautical artistic stuff. I've got a big one here, a cross. Mm-hmm. And up here, I've got a big one of my wife.
Nice.
In a Sailor Jerry. What we did is we took an old, like, World War II Sailor Jerry military kind of pinup girl tattoo. And the tattoo artist, instead of using the woman in the Sailor Jerry design, he used Lori. So I got my wife in a Sailor Jerry tattoo from World War II on my arm.
That's dope.
Oh, and then I got Grateful.
Oh, there you go.
Right there.
That's it, man. That's it. The only thing that I have right now is a solid black band. When I actually went in to get this, I told the tattoo artist, like, hey, can I just get a solid black band on my arm? He's like, oh, yeah, so like the Roots? And I was like, nah, like a solid. He's like, so like Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I was like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing there. I don't know if that goes over your head all black.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Okay. And then I'm going to get the elephant and the obelisk here. I don't know if you've ever seen that Bernini's sculptures that it's in Vatican City. I'm obsessed with that. I'm not super religious at all, but the thing about that was it's the marriage of science and religion. So the obelisk being mathematics, the elephant being God's creations. And it's the marriage of the two, because you had like La Purga and stuff where Catholic people were getting like stoned for reading literature that suggested that the earth rotated around the sun.
Right.
And all of that kind of stuff. So that was basically like the turning point in the church of like kind of bringing those two things together. The weird thing about it is Bernini designed it, but he never got to see it completed. So my goal is to try to create something that even if I don't see its completion, it can still serve like a pretty meaningful purpose. So yeah,
that's why you get a tattoo.
Yeah, man.
because you've got a relationship with the tattoo vis-a-vis a story. That's really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, like this I was married last time we spoke, but this was like wedding band, family band. I missed my grandfather's funeral because of some bullshit. Like I wanted to be on the road. He knew that. We were cool with it. It was fine. But looking back, I really, really missed being able to see my family in that time and my grandma at that time. So for me, it was just like, I'm not going to let anything ever get in between me and family ever again, because it's all full circle. I'll see them again at some point. Right. So a lot of people think it has something to do with, there's a multitude of things of what this means to people. But for me, everybody's like, oh, shit. Okay. So I got to get something else going. So that's the next thing. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for checking in, brother, and do so more often. First of all, I can listen to you talk all day because, you know, why you're not hosting a late night primetime radio show on Sirius or something, I have no idea. But what
give me a gig. Get me a gig, bro. You know.
If I could get you a gig, I'd get me one first. I can't even get a gig because I don't have your voice. That's what it is.
Hey, I sound a lot better than Alba. Oops.
Well, who doesn't? No, come on. I love John. John's cool. Yeah, John's cool. I'm just messing with it. Dude, all right, brother. Good seeing you, man.
See you, bro.
All right. Shots fired. Thank you so much, Isaac. Guys, don't dye your hair and don't get tattoos that don't mean anything. Thank you so much, Eric. We missed the grateful tattoo because of the video function on this thing. Show it to us again, if you don't mind. And speak.
Oh, this.
There you go.
Here, close up look.
I love it. I had not seen that one, I don't think. I love it, Eric.
Well, you haven't seen any of it, have you?
I am. Damn. Yes, you've told us about the nautical and the
The nautical one, yeah. Because when you see it, especially when you see it on camera, it just looks like mush, right?
No, it looks great. And in fact, I think you should commission the artist to sell prints of it because maybe I'm the only one, but I would love to have that.
Well, he's down in Florida. Next time I see him, I'll ask.
That's what I was going to ask you. So I assume you don't get tattoos where you live.
No, that'd be no. Because the guy that does the tattoos down the road also shoes horses.
Okay.
So, no.
All right. He's an entrepreneur more than an
artist. I love living out here. But if I'm going to have somebody paint something on my body that's going to live forever, I'm looking for some quality talent. I don't care how fast you can shoe a horse.
Josh Henney says where you live, they just do brandings.
If I want to get branded, yeah, the guy right down the road would do that for me.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. All right. We're going to check in with Coach Rosie, great friend of the show. Hey, Coach.
What's going on, Eric? Lauren, it's good to see you today. It's been a while, and hopefully it's not going to be a while again because, you're cool to see you. Cool to see you.
You too.
How are you?
I'm good. And, Coach, I saw that image that you sent to me today of the microphone. My only question, and I'm sorry, my days are fairly busy, and I was going to catch up with you tonight. But that mic, you got two of them, right?
Right. I can easily return them.
No, I know. But do you know that your iPhone will track two different mics?
I think one's for a backup if the battery dies on the first one.
Oh, okay. So you've got one that you're going to use one at a time.
Right. And then I'll plug the other one in and keep flip-flopping it.
Then you're good to go. That'll do it.
Perfect.
But I'll follow up to you probably tomorrow. I got a pretty free morning, so I'll reach out to you. I'll text you and see what's good for you.
Awesome. Hey,
and those of you that don't know, Coach Rosie's going to be on location reporting live. Did I say live?
Live.
Yes, I said live on May 20. What day is it? 26th.
And I'm going to be coming from Collision too. If you want to just pop in, and I'll be at both shows. Collision on Saturday and then Dublin.
Josh is going to be covering the AEW pay-per-view for us. We're going to be doing a live show post-game. We're going to do a live post-game after the pay-per-view, and Josh is going to be there pre-game, post-game. We're going to talk to fans, get their reactions, see what Josh thought of it in real time. So check us out. We're going to have fun. Those shows are fun as hell.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Hey, I don't have much of a question, but trust me, you're going to like this. And it just came to me maybe 10 minutes ago. You always say to start a storyline with the end.
Yep.
So I'm going to start with the end. Today, my son graduated high school. Now, here's the beginning of the story. I heard Dave McClay talking something about why he is grateful about being a top guy or some member of Bad Free Show. So keep that theme in mind as I book this storyline for you. Some guy signs up for ad free shows the very first day it comes out, gets lucky, gets a couple questions answered by Eric Bischoff on a Locked and Loaded hosted by Lauren Yaffe, and gets in contact with this guy Eric, and he gets in contact gets him in contact with his wife Lori, and
Lori, that helps the young man that joined Ad Free Shows not knowing anything like this was going to happen and coaches him up for a couple years. And not only coaches him up, but coaches two of his sons up. And one of those sons, well, both of them are my kids, but is Andrew. And he graduated high school today.
Wow. And
you want to know the why behind Ad Free Shows? I mean, you know the whole back history of Andrew. I got emotional at the graduation. It's been a tough ride. But you know what? It would not have been possible if you do that 6 degrees of whatever. If it wasn't for Ad Free Shows, I would have never talked to you. I would have never gotten connected with Lori. I would have never put my sons in her teen life coaching course. I would have never had my older son have the confidence to tell me he wants to change his major in college. And I don't think I would have ever have seen my son graduate high school, let alone still be walking this earth the way that he was going. So you want to know the why behind that free shows? The story ended today when Andrew graduated high school. So that's why Ad Free Shows is so vital and important to me.
Coach, that was beautiful, brother. I can't wait to tell Lori about this experience. Thank you so much. And that's why I love this place. Where are you going to get these kind of connections? I don't know about y'all, but I haven't had these kinds of connections in my entire life outside of this community, really, in terms of people that you work with and just people you know. I mean, I've got friends, don't get me wrong, but they're friends I see once or so, twice a year, you know. But these kinds of conversations and sharing these kinds of experiences, that's why I love this place, Coachy. Thank you very much, Coach. Appreciate it.
Yep. And I don't have any wrestling questions, but we'll have a good time Saturday and Sunday night, I promise.
All right, brother. I look forward to it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Coach, that was beautiful. Obviously, congratulations to the graduate and the whole fam. I co-sign Mrs. B is incredible and has changed my life as well. Eric, you lucky dog.
You think I don't know that? Yeah, I'm not even going to pretend.
Guys, Eric used to talk on the podcast about how he had really outkicked his coverage and his wife was incredible. And I, whose like childhood crush, celebrity dream date was always Eric Bischoff, I'm just like, no way. And then I met her and she definitely is perfect. So.
And no promo needed, but the cost of Mrs. B is way, way less than the pain that you feel with whatever you're going through. I mean, I've lost 70 pounds. I'm off of the medications. My kids are doing good. This ain't a plug for Mrs. B, but I'm just telling you, if you need to get things right in your life, hit her up because I swear by it. And I'll
show you. Hey, Coach, I forgot. And thank you for that. But congratulations are in order, my friend. Let's not let this moment go by without acknowledging your son and his accomplishments. And actually, a lot of yours and your wife's, because he wouldn't be where he is without you guys. So congrats to all of you, brother.
Cheers. It's going to be a fun night. You'll smile. He said to me, Dad, can you push the reservations until 6 o'clock? I'm going to spend an hour with my girlfriend before I come home.
Oh, yeah, so, of course he is.
Yeah. So we pushed the reservation back. Thank God we're on the West Coast.
I was 18. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I remember. All right, Coach. Thank you, brother.
Ad Free Shows has been changing lives around here, Eric, for 4 years. Can you believe we've been doing this for 4 years?
No. Thanks for bringing that up.
I know. Time flies when you're having fun, and we have been having just a blast. Everyone agrees. They're all nodding.
They're all nodding their head.
Everyone's putting over Mrs. B over here. It's LoriBischoff.com if you want to check her out and link up with her. Eric, we appreciate your time. I want to be respectful of your time and get you out of here quickly, but we did have a couple who had some follow-ups, if that's okay with you.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. James Sorensen, what you got for Eric?
Well, before I lose my train of thought, Coach, you're right, but Mrs. B is priceless.
as an individual. She is a true gem.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that very much. What are you grilling tonight? What are you grilling?
I think it's deer steak.
Deer steak? Oh, man, you're killing me. All right.
I mean, you got a grill. I mean, you could.
Oh, I know. I probably will this weekend. My nephew's coming in. My nephew's moving to Cody, Wyoming. He's 23 years old. He graduated from the Culinary Institute of America down in San Antonio. Then he went to Los Angeles and became a sommelier. He's 23 years old. I was drinking Boone's Farm apple wine when I was 23 years old, and he's a sommelier. Anyway, long story short, he's moving here to Cody because him and another very successful businessman here in town, restaurateur, is opening a new Mediterranean all farm to table restaurant. And my nephew's going to be partner. And well, now, at 23 years old. So he's moving here this weekend. He gets in Friday, and we're gonna grill up a bunch of steaks this weekend. So I'll do my deer steaks then.
Now I have to come up to Cody.
Well, just don't come this weekend because we don't have that much deer steak.
4th of July, we'll try that.
All right, bring some up.
All right. But my question is, so with today's announcement with AEW and All Out, any your thoughts or little teaser thoughts you might be going in?
I don't know anything about it. You know, I don't think it matters one way or the other. I'm sure there was a good reason for it, logistical, or perhaps they just felt like the timing might be better. I mean, Labor Day kind of sucks. When is Labor Day? Who knows off the top of it?
Last weekend in August. It's usually like the last weekend in August, first weekend of September. So Labor Day is the second this year because my birthday is the day after.
Yeah, see, you don't want to mess with that weekend. Labor Day weekend's the last 3-day weekend. In a lot of places, it's the last 3-day weekend before school starts. It's different in different regions of the country. So that's a tricky one to do anything other than, you know, sell hot dogs at the beach. So it probably makes sense from a timing perspective.
Hopefully I can come to Cody, Wyoming. And like I said, like reiterate with Coach, AFS has been a changing lives. And to be honest, you need to get a t-shirt that says the enlightening icon because you've enlightened so many.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
Enjoy your deer.
I was going to say he threw his deer on the grill. It's just the jokes write themselves with the deer. Is it roadkill though, James?
Love you, my dear.
Did you actually kill the deer with your vehicle?
No.
It's roadkill, guys. It is roadkill. Whitaker, save us.
Oh, this place is crazy. I love it.
So, Eric,
have you grilled possum before?
Have I grilled possum? I have not grilled possum. I've ate possum. I haven't grilled it.
Well, let me,
as you guys are talking about eating possums, now I'm a carnivore. I'm a voracious buck or feather. I eat lots of meat. I love it. I love to hunt. I butcher my own meat. I'm kind of all about that. Mm-mm. So don't get me wrong. But I could never, ever, ever do anything with a possum but pet it. Do you know that possums are one of the cleanest animals out there in the animal kingdom?
Yes, it is.
They eat ticks. They eat all the bad shit. They're gentle. Have you ever seen a possum puppy? Do they call them puppies?
Baby we possum? Do now? That's so cute.
Oh, my God. If there were possums where I live, I'd have a possum rescue. You'd be adopting possums on national television because you'd see my puppy possum video commercial and you'd donate money. You'd have your own puppy possum.
I thought I couldn't love him more.
See. So, Eric, I got a question.
Isaac's going to play music to the puppy possum song. He's going to write the puppy possum song.
Well, that's what we need. We need a puppy
possum. By the way, if you guys don't know, I hate to interrupt you. If you guys don't know, Isaac, who's with us, is a Grammy Award-winning musician. Multiple, right? Look at all that bad here. This guy's the real deal. He's a Grammy award-winning musician, or musician, not a magician, musician. That's who you have joining us here at Ad-Free Shows. Like, how fucking cool is that?
Can I get you to do the intro song for our basketball team, possibly pro bono, Isaac? I'd really love to some good come out music for next year. I have the 10th ranked player in the country. Okay, cool. I'll shut up.
All right. What do we got next?
All right. So I guess it's my turn. So, you know, we heard, you know, right before things got good for you, you had a hard time. But once you got, you know, good and settled, you bought a house, you did this, you did that. What was the first thing you bought specifically that was like a spoilment for you? Like, so was it a car? Was it a motorcycle? Was it, you know, what did you buy that you're like, man, I'm making this money, I'm buying this?
Are you talking about like when I, in the beginning of my career?
Yes, in the beginning of career. So once you started
I've bounced off the bottom a couple times since the beginning. Yeah. So you gotta give me the right time.
So we'll say, you know, WCW era, you know, once you started making that money.
Yeah.
And, you know, we heard the stories, you know, before where, you know, you had your hard times and everything else. After that, you know, you had the money, you bought your house. The first thing you bought just for yourself.
I am so embarrassed to even say this because it reflects one of my biggest flaws. It's a blessing and it's a flaw. Blessing and a curse. That's the best way to say it. I oh God.
I'm so glad to hear it, Eric.
This is now, you guys do me a favor. I don't want to see this on social media. All right.
Do I need to pause the recording?
No. I trust. We're family. I don't care. I trust. But you're right. You know, I was in Minnesota. I was flat on my back financially. Rice, beans, couldn't heat the house. The whole sad story. Repossessing cars, all that shit. Then I got the job at Turner. And that was like, whoa. I mean, it was 70 grand a year. That was in 1991. At that time, that's what a good attorney would make. Maybe 3-4 years as an attorney. So I was like, yay, I'm on, at least I'm not a piece of shit, you know, kind of a thing. All right. And I was fairly conservative in that. I didn't get crazy because we had a lot of bills and a lot of ground to cover. I'm going to fast forward through this, guys. We won't be here all night. But then as I progressed at Turner and started making what I consider at that time, real money into six figures, 200-300 grand, whatever a year. Once I got a contract about that level, and again, this is 93, 94, so it's not the same thing as 200-300 grand today, about twice as much then as it is today. So I'm feeling pretty flush. Bills are all paid. Got the house. Wife's happy. Took the kids to do some stuff. So I'm thinking, okay, what about me? Then one Saturday afternoon, Mrs. B and I are cruising around Atlanta on a beautiful spring day. It's about 68, 70 degrees. Trees are starting to blossom. It's beautiful in Atlanta in the spring. And we drive by a place that has Corvettes. Classic ones. New ones. Some on consignment. And it caught my eye. Sure did. So I said, Mrs. B, turn this Jaguar around, because I bought my wife a Jaguar. I got her a good car before I started looking for one for me, because I'm smart that way. Said, honey, turn this big, beautiful, mint-colored Jaguar with the leather interior that you love so much to a Huey. I think I saw something I want to check out. And she did, because she loves me. And we pulled into the parking lot of this establishment that had the Corvettes for sale. Mind you, it's a Saturday afternoon. Banks aren't open. Nobody's going to take a check for us because I was going to pay cash for it. So I said, well, I see on the window that you take American Express. And he said, well, that's usually for parts and, you know, nobody buys cars with it. I said, is it against the law to buy a car with a credit card? And he said, no. So I put my Corvette on my American Express. That is so stupid from a financial perspective. It's such a ridiculously childish, juvenile impulse. But it's a great story, and it's true. I bought a Corvette on a fucking credit card. What an idiot.
Corvette was the first thing you bought for yourself once you made everything.
Well, yeah, anything that, you know, I mean, bought some new shoes and maybe a jacket.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the big thing that you bought, you know, for yourself was a Corvette.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was my question.
You do realize how dumb that is. Like, I wouldn't aspire to that if I were you.
No.
I know that. I'm just saying.
Because that car, that I don't remember how much I paid for it, but whatever it was, by the time I, because of course I said, well, I'll just pay the whole thing off on Monday. Guess what? You don't. I don't. I dragged it out for a year or 8 months, whatever it was. And if you look at the interest on that, Anyway, Eric, let's move on to the next one. I'm starting to get PTSD.
What year was it?
Yeah, was it a new vet or did you buy
Okay, so this was in 93. It was in 93 that I bought that. It wasn't a new vet. I think it was that consignment. I think it was like 2 years old.
Eric, what the hell?
You didn't even go for a classic?
How many miles?
When I moved to Arizona in 2000, because here's the secret, guys. I want you to understand this. I am not proud of what I'm about to tell you because it's part of this affliction that I have. I was born with the ability on a fairly consistent basis to out-earn bad choices. So I kind of conditioned myself throughout my younger life, in my 20s, my 30s, even in my 40s, that, yeah, fuck it. Doesn't matter. I'll make the money. If I want to take a risk, dump a bunch of money, which I've done, dump a bunch of money into a new business proposition, new business, invest a ton of money. I got a great idea. You got a great idea too. Let's put our ideas and our money together. Let's go do this. Boom. I've done that a few times and it's cost me dearly, but part of that is because in my mind, I know that if I say, oh shit, I need X amount of money and X amount of time, 7 or 8 times out of 10, I'll figure it out. It's not good planning because shit changes, condition changes, markets change, everything changes and you get caught with your pants down, so to speak. So
I've been doing the same for 40 years myself.
I mean, everybody does it. It's not that I'm unique. I was probably more extreme than others. But yeah, overcoming that, you know, when I figured it out, really, really started to understand my own patterns, is there's a guy on the radio, Dave Ramsey. He's syndicated radio. You hear him all the time. He is such a smart, common sense financial guy that really helped me realize, you know, what I need to change in myself so that I don't keep repeating the same financial mistakes and overcome this overconfidence I have in my ability to outrun stupid decisions.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't know who that was. What you got for us, PJ?
I was going to say, I have a question that kind of follows up that other question, but in a pretense. We've all heard the stories about how at one point in time, you know, you used to love fighting more than, you know, making love.
It's not how I said it, but yeah, go ahead.
I was channeling my inner Pritchard. I'm sorry. What was the turning point for you to say, this is not going to be my life and I need to get out of Detroit, or not necessarily out of Detroit, but whatever it was that made you say, I need to be better?
Well, let's start with, there was nothing wrong with me. I mean, when I said I'd like to fight, I didn't mean street fight and go picking the fights in bars and being a bully or an asshole. I mean, I went from being bullied by assholes when I was a kid in Detroit and growing up. And I wasn't a very tough guy. I wasn't a big guy. I was kind of a scrawny kid. I wasn't very good at team sports, but but they're on wrestling. You don't, wrestling isn't really a team sport. It's an individual sport, and they have weight classes for scrawny kids. So that was like my only sport that I could play. And I got into wrestling, and I found that I liked the contact. I liked physicality. I like to be challenged that way. And then from wrestling, I got into martial arts, and I really liked that. I don't know that it has anything to do with fighting when I was a kid or getting beat up when I was a kid. It was more, I just kind of like contact. It was just like comfort food for me. I know that sounds bizarre, but it's what I grew up with. So it was comfortable. It was natural for me. So when I got into martial arts competitively and started getting into tournaments and traveling and doing all that and got my black belt and I actually had a professional fighter too. It wasn't that I liked beating people. Well, I did like beating people up, but in a competitive, but in a competitive way, not in a mean or bully or asshole. I just loved it too. I loved it so much because it was my, like anybody doing martial arts right now. It's they don't, you don't get good at martial arts or guitar or anything else if you're not really passionate about it. And my passion at that time was competitive contact combat sports.
No, I get it entirely.
When did I get? I made up my mind to get out of it, not because I was a bad person, but because I looked at my future and I got out a calculator that I didn't need and figured how I'd make a living being a competitive martial artist and decided at about 27 years old that tick had talked its last tick or whatever.
I got you. I think I asked the question wrong. Basically, I was saying. What made you go down the road you went to get where you ended up? Like, you know, from getting just in the right place, right time.
Being an entrepreneur, honestly, you know, basic answer is I've always, as an entrepreneur, I'm always looking for fun, new, exciting opportunities that'll challenge me and allow me to learn something at the same time. So I've always, and I've gotten involved with a lot of different businesses. Some have failed, some have succeeded. But what drives me and was always driven me is my desire to be challenged with something new and different where I can learn something that I can apply down the road to something else I'm going to do. And as a result of that instinct or that nature, opportunities end up in your lap that you didn't even plan on or imagine. It's just a frame of mind.
Makes sense. Thanks again, Eric.
You bet, man. Thank you.
Eric, I do think that some people are just like destined for something very different on a much different stage than other average people. If you think about like Ric Flair and having survived a plane crash and he was like kidnapped at birth and all these crazy things about him and like the celebrity that he ended up becoming, I just feel like you're kind of in that category as well. Maybe.
Well, I think everybody is in that category. It's just how willing you are to kind of let it guide you.
There you go. Because Eric, you definitely like have some balls in terms of taking risks and putting everything into something and just like living with, you know, you're going to live and die by it. Right. So I feel like because
it's really easy to sit here and say, oh, I live in Wyoming and this is just great. Oh, look where I am right now. Where I am is pretty good, but not where I need to be at 69 years old. I don't have my kids set up the way I want to have them set up yet. I still have a pretty substantial nut every month that I got to whack at. So, I'm doing great, but I still got to work at it like everybody else. But along the way, my God, I don't know that too many people would want to go through what I've gone through, what I put my wife through, because it's not always been as great as it is right now. You know, it's been 40 years. There's been 40 years. There's been some solid chunks of that where it was like, what did we do?
I think you've always bet on yourself, Eric.
Yeah. And that's so far been about a 60-40 proposition.
I'm betting on Eric every single time. Anthony Pyrus wanted to swing back through. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, I'm sorry to go a second time. Eric, I know Jimmy talked about the change of AEW's All In. This throws a wrench into Top Guy Weekend. Please tell me that regardless, you will be at Top Guy Weekend.
So you want to know something? So yes. Glad you asked. Actually, yes. I'm really glad you asked because I was confused. So I knew of Top Guy Weekend. I knew that the event was originally, the AEW thing was September 1st, I think. Nobody had, I hadn't blocked that week out of my schedule yet. It was still open until Friday, Saturday morning. Saturday morning. I hope nobody's in a hurry because I'm just in that mood.
So go for Saturday it. Please morning, go for it.
Beautiful day. Miss B and I got everything done around the house early we needed to do. And I just wanted to cook. I don't know what we were cooking. We were prepping something. So we open up the windows. I go to my iTunes, hit my boom, my big mega boom speaker, because I love music when I'm cooking. It just, it's magic for me. And I don't like to hear my same playlist over and over and over again because I have a unique taste in music. And sometimes it doesn't flow so well with my wife when we're doing something like cooking. So anyway, I go to my playlist and I'm looking for something. And I say, I need something different. I want something to elevate my mood. Like when I look for music, it's probably like most people look for drugs. I make an assessment of the mood that I'm in, and I determine how I want to feel, because music makes me feel certain ways. Sometimes it's inspiring. Sometimes it's just lighthearted. Makes me more energetic. Sometimes it makes me thoughtful. And I was, because the windows are open and everybody's happy. I'm making food and my wife's here and everything's great. I even brought her flowers. I surprised my wife with flowers that morning. That's the mood I was in.
You're a romantic. You are a romantic.
No, I'm really not. That's why she was so surprised. It was awesome. So I go through my playlist and I find the essential Tom Jones. Tom Jones, 81 years old. One of the best voices in the world, in my opinion. I've listened to him with Luciano Pavarotti. Blew my socks off. My wife loves Tom Jones too. So we're listening to the essential Tom Jones. And I said to my wife, Lori, do you know if there's, I wonder if Tom Jones tours. So what do? I drop the onions, leave them on the counter, go over to my computer, go to tomjones.com, look at the website. Lo and behold, he's going to be in Chicago on September 7th at a really cool pavilion, outdoor covered pavilion, only holds about 3,400 people. Tickets were going fast. That's what they said to me on Stub Ticket or Stub Ticket or whatever the fuck it was. So I sign up and I bought two tickets in the front center for Tom Jones on September 7th. So we're going to be there anyway. There's a long-winded answer.
What if what if Top Guy Weekend stays the previous weekend?
On the first?
Yes.
Then I'll spend 4 or 5 days in Chicago before I go see Tom Jones.
Because you are the Top Guy King, baby.
I got friends, and we got friends there. Lori and I both have really, really super close friends in Chicago. So
thank goodness. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Easy.
Top Guy Weekend is not to be missed, ladies and gentlemen. Eric, I want to say hello to a new member. His name is Adam Clemens. Adam is with us, but didn't, you know, he's a little shy, a little stage fright for Adam tonight. But I wanted to let you say hi to one of our newer ad-free show subscribers.
Adam, I completely understand, but if you look at this motley crew of people on this screen, you would realize that you'd be right at home here and there's nobody going to judge you and nobody going to make fun of you or have too much fun with you. We're all just here to have a good time. So next time, come on out and say hello to all of us. We'd love to bring you into the party, brother.
And he lives to enlighten. We do make fun of James Sorensen, but it's because he's been here for a very long time and always tells us that he's the youngest. He's just the easiest target, but he takes it really well.
Old James. And he's got the hottest girlfriend.
Yes, he does. I love it. I love it. He's hanging out with his beer tonight.
It's at 3:50.
Perfect. A wrestling historian joins us this evening. Good to see you, my friend. Great friend of the shows.
Thanks, Lauren. Mr. Bischoff, how you doing, sir?
That's Eric to you, but go ahead.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about your grateful book.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to write the book?
Well, truth be known, I didn't write it. Guy Evans did, but Guy and I probably spent 4 months, probably three times a week for an hour or two at a time, just reviewing, interviewing me about each of the topics and where my head was at. So we did these long interviews over a period of a few months, and then Guy sat down and kind of assembled all of that and did what writers do, which is a very, very talented skill, by the way. Anybody can write, but not anybody can write really well. And Guy is an amazing writer that really knows how to tell a story. And you saw the finished product.
Was it difficult not to have Simon and Schuster involved this time?
No, when you self-publish, I mean, you're completely free to do whatever you want. It's up to you. And we self-published and distributed through Amazon. And that wasn't hard. You know, I would rather not. I'm not a big fan. Look, I get it. So, you know, depending on your situation, if you've got a long-term contract with Simon & Schuster and you're a very successful writer, that's a different world. But for someone like me that's just going to write one book or be involved with the writing of one book, I like being independent. It's so much easier now. You know, 20 years ago, you couldn't do it. You'd write a book 20 years ago and sell it to your friends and family. And that'd be about the end of it. But now, because of, you know, the internet, social media, Amazon, it's so easy to self-publish and not have to deal with the publisher because they take the majority of the money too. You're getting about a third of it. I got about 20% of it. So if a dollar came in, I got about 20 cents on the book that I did with Simon & Schuster. This one was a much different scenario.
Oh, okay, cool. Thanks a lot.
You bet, man. Thank you. And thanks for all you contribute, buddy. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
A great follow on Instagram, a wrestling historian. Thank you so much for joining us. Eric, our peer pressure has worked, and new guy Adam has something to say.
Let's see.
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. I didn't have a mic set up. I just wasn't prepared tonight. Thanks, Eric. I've been a longtime listener, first time caller, so to speak. And thanks, Mark, for putting the pressure on me to make me connect my Bluetooth. I'm on my wife's setup in our office space here, and also watching our, I'll put it up here, one year old.
Yay! Baby daughter. Oh my gosh. What a, oh my gosh. What a beautiful. Oh.
Thanks. I'm going to put her back down. Yeah. So I'll say that, first of all, thanks guys for being so welcoming. I appreciate it. You, Eric, and everybody else. I've been listening to the podcast for 9 months or so. So I'm one of those that I'm going back kind of starting from the very beginning. I'm on episode 145 or so, but also listen to the more recent, sorry if you hear the noise, the most recent, you know, podcast releases as well. Sure. In addition to that, I'm also here in the last, I don't know, 3 months or so, I've been going back and starting Nitro from the very beginning. You kind of motivated me to do that. And I've really enjoyed that. I don't know. I've been really surprised. I think I'll say that I'm about midway through 1996 of season two. I've been really impressed with Mongo McMichael, and I know that he's, you know, obviously not in good health. I just wonder if you could share some stories. I'm really curious, particularly about how he, you know, who made the decision to bring him on board. Was that your decision or somebody else's decision? And then ultimately, you know, he you know, left the booth, so to speak, and, you know, entered the ring for better or worse. But I've really enjoyed him, obviously, with Bobby Heenan too. And then you in the middle, it's been a really enjoyable experience for me. So that's my question, I think, is can you share some stories about Mongo with us?
Yeah. Steve, first of all, Harvey Schiller, who was my boss, Harvey Schiller was the president of Turner Sports. Turner Sports had relationships in the NFL. Harvey Schiller was a very, very well-connected executive. Prior to coming to Turner at Turner Sports, he was involved with the U.S. Olympic Committee at a very high level. So my boss, Harvey Schiller, had a lot of just reach into NFL, NBA, whatever. Oh, the SEC. I think he was president of the SEC for a period or vice president or something. So at one point, once Nitro got going and we had some momentum, Harvey came to me and said, hey, what do you think about Steve McMichael? And I, you know, as a football NFL fan, I was living in Minnesota. The Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings were like divisional rivalries, right? So I really knew a lot about Steve McMichael, the football player, as a football player, but I didn't know him as a person. So Harvey said, hey, he's interested in maybe getting into wrestling or getting into television. Do you want to take a look at him? I said, absolutely. And I think I flew out to Chicago. Maybe he flew to me. I don't remember. But met him and liked him. And I didn't even look at any tape on him because I knew what I was going to ask Steve to do was so alien to whatever experience he had in sports that I didn't care what his on-camera hosting type talents were or weren't. I knew from talking to him that I could coach him and I could teach him that, you know, he was going to come out of the chute great, but I knew I could work with him. And he brought a certain, he's an every fan. You know, he was obviously, NFL champion, the Super Bowl champion, amazing football player, all pro, blah, 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 blah. But if you take that part of his life out, he is about as every man as you'd ever meet. He's such a down-to-earth guy. And I thought the fact that you could have this Super Bowl champion who's a really down-to-earth guy who actually really likes professional wrestling, I can make this work. And I did. And I had a blast doing it for a long time. It was fun.
Yeah, I have to say, yeah, I've really enjoyed his, wit, and especially pairing him with Bobby Heenan, it obviously just hilarious.
And I don't mean to interrupt you, brother, it's your time.
No, it's fine.
Bobby had a very quick wit. I mean, you'd make a comment and Bobby would, jujitsu your ass inside out with that, with his comeback before you even, finish saying what you were saying. Steve was the exact opposite. Steve's wit was so dry. And his timing was so precise that just when you were on to another thought, he'd drop his line on you. And then when you'd look at him and he would no sell you. So you don't know if he's serious or not. it's just a different, kind of humor, but they were both hilarious to be around.
Great. Yeah, totally great. And I have to ask as a quick follow-up about Pepe specifically, obviously his chihuahua, it just feels so almost ahead of its time in some ways, but also because you have this legitimate badass and Mongo, and then he's got this tiny little puppy who he dresses appropriately. It was just beautiful. Whose idea? I mean, was that his idea to hey, I'm going to bring my dog on set, or it's no deal, or how did that go down?
I don't remember, but it could have been him just doing it on his own and me going, well, Flick, that's funny. Or it could have been me going, what do you mean you got a chihuahua? Bring it to work. Let's dress it up. I don't remember, to be honest. It could have been
either way, it's magic. Yeah.
It could have been his wife Deborah's idea, because this was way before Deborah became a TV personality and way before she married Steve Austin and all that. Deborah and Steve McMichael were married, and Deborah would always come with Steve. So for a couple of years, she never saw the front of a camera. But she was really into that dog. I mean, they traveled with that dog. They had a wardrobe bag for the dog. The dog lived a good life. We went to Sturgis on Harleys, and they brought the dog.
So, no way.
That dog had a good life. Pepe,
yeah. Thanks so much, man. Eric, again, I really appreciate you answering my questions. It's almost surreal to me to be able to talk to you. I hope one of these days I'll be able to meet you in person if you're ever in my area. I'm just outside of Memphis, down in Oxford, Mississippi. I'm hoping you'll make your way to Memphis Wrestling at some point soon. Buff Bagwell actually just won the tag team championship. Some of you guys might have seen that here in the last couple of weeks. I'm good friends with the promoter and some of the other guys associated therein. So hope to see you somewhere along the road. I'd love to meet you in person.
Well, tell that promoter to book me and you'll see me sooner than you think.
I'll do it, man. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Adam, I am so glad you've joined us this evening and thankful that all of you, grateful, if you will, that all of you have joined us for the last 4 years of Locked and Loaded on ad-free shows. It's been a blast. Eric, I want to go back to this one really quickly, and then we can wrap if you want to. But we got a question here in the chat, and it's a question for me. And it says, what is your greatest Eric Bischoff story? And I just want to say my greatest Eric Bischoff story will stay between me and Eric. But I'm kidding. That's a joke, you guys. But you too can have Eric Bischoff's stories, plenty of them. If you upgrade to Top Guy status, get in on these events. Top Guy Weekend is one of them that we've been talking about here. If you're catching this on the replay, or if you're at one of those other tiers on ad-free shows, you know the value of ad-free shows. But what you may not know just yet is just how cool it is to have a drink with Eric Bischoff. We can have these conversations in person.
Yeah, or as a big group. And I guess that's what ad-free shows is for, but or Top Guy Weekends. But yeah, no, this is fun. I appreciate this. This is, I don't know why we, here, I do know why we don't do this more often, because I hope I'm not boring for you guys sharing you this stuff with you, this stuff, but I'm not really good at organizing my day. So, like, managing my own schedule is a joke. And I'm kind of a one man band here, and I don't have any assistants. It's just me, because I don't ask Lori to do any of my stuff. So I sometimes, because half the time I don't write shit down. Sometimes I'll put it in my computer, on my calendar. Sometimes I won't, because I'll remember it. Famous last words. And then, of course, I don't. I double book myself and shit. So finally, I said, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. I'm no longer functioning at an optimal level because I'm burning too much time and pissing people off in the process when you double book them. So I brought Evan Polisher on board. Evan now is master control of my schedule. And in the 7 or 8 days, 10 days we've been doing it, my life has become so much better in that regard. And I can do more because there's more structure, because I'm not relying on myself or my memory to keep things in order. All that being said, I will be doing more of these types of things in the future. A, because I want to, but B, because now that Evan's managing my schedule, there'll be more time available to do it. So look forward to more, whether you like it or not.
We love it.
Because I have fun doing it.
Good. Evan means business, you guys. Thank you so much, Eric, and to everyone else who's joined us this evening. All my little possum puppies, I'm glad I got to see all of you. Stay in touch. We are at Ad Free Shows. He is at, is it Eric Bischoff? I think it's at Eric
Bischoff. At E. Bischoff on X. I call it Twix. X. Twix.
On Twix, where he is roasting Tony Khan constantly. We're having a great time over there as well. Eric, thank you so much. You're precious.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to go grill some meat.
We'll catch you on the next one, guys. Have a great night. Right. Thank you.
See you guys.